Chapter 3. We finished our dinner with the Elder Council, and we finalized our plans for the feast before we departed from Elrin's house late that night. Then the girls and I returned home, and all four of us climbed into bed. I laid awake for a while, thinking about my journey so far, and I wondered what would happen next in this crazy fantasy world. I was finally home again, and I felt like I'd earned some time off, as well as a day or two of fun. But the walls still needed to be finished, and other things around town also needed taking care of, so I doubted I'd get to relax for very long. I didn't mind, though. Hard work kept my godlike abs in shape. I drifted off to sleep with three of the most beautiful women I'd ever met in my arms, and a smile on my face. I dreamed I was stuck in the call center back in my old world, and every single day was fucking Wednesday. It was awful, and I was relieved when the dream ended, and I woke up in my house in Bastionville. I shot out of bed the next morning full of excitement for the day of celebration. It was Sebastian Day, the first annual celebration of me, and I didn't want to miss a minute of it.
You seem excited.
Mahini eyed me with an amused expression as she woke up and pushed herself onto her elbows. It's Sebastian Day, I grinned. What could be better than that?
Being able to stay in bed and make love to you all day long?
Mahini countered. And I had to admit it was tempting. Still, there was plenty of time for that later, and I wanted to see the new and improved Bastionville in daylight, so I was eager to move forward with the day.
Is it morning already?
Alyssa yawned and blinked her eyes sleepily. That it is.
Oh, don't say that.
Eva groaned, and she buried her face in her pillow.
Say it's midnight. No coming back to bed.
Oh, come on, I said as I jumped on the bed, and the mattress bounced like a trampoline. It's a beautiful day. Eva and Alyssa giggled, and Mahini gave me a sideways smile, but I was still feeling too energetic to leave it at that, so I attacked my women with tickles and kisses until all three of them were cackling with laughter. That's more like it. I grinned as I finally relented my assault on their sides. Now, let's get up and go help the town set up for Sebastian Day.
He's adorable when he's excited.
Just wait until you see him find treasure. Bash is always entertaining.
Last one dressed as a rotten egg, I teased as I crossed the room to my wardrobe.
We better get up before he attacks us again,
Mahini suggested, and the other two women quickly agreed. A short while later, the four of us left our house and meandered down the street. Bastionville was a bustle of activity, even though it was still early in the morning. And everywhere I looked, there were people hard at work setting up for the celebration. Toria was overseeing the setup of some tables in the city square in front of Elrin's house, and Kalia was hanging streamers from the front of the businesses. The mayor of Bastionville was helping as well, and it was nice to see everyone working together. I waved at the townspeople as I passed, and Alyssa ran over to give her father a quick hug before we continued on our way around town. I wanted to see everything that had changed since I'd left, so I aimed for one of the new businesses lining the street.
Oh, great one. A moment of your time, please.
Dina, one of the women who'd lived in Bastionville since it was called Addington, stopped me on my way to the stores. What can I do for you, Dina? I asked with a worried frown. Is your mother okay? When I'd first met her, Dina's mother had been sick, so I feared the worst.
Oh, she's doing fine.
Dina grinned.
She's been up and about for about a week now. You'll have to come say hello.
Yeah, I'll do that. I smiled politely and gave her a pointed look.
I was going to tell you that my aunt had a full brood of chicks not too long ago, and I was wondering if you wanted any chickens for your own place. Although I'd be happy to bring you some eggs each morning.
No. Well, that's very generous of you. I'll think about it.
It's the least I could do.
Dina assured me as she clasped my hand warmly.
I don't have much to give, but I wish to grant you some gift in honor of Sebastian Day.
Oh, thank you, I said, and then I set my eyes on the stores once more. I'll let you know what I decide soon.
Very good.
Dina nodded.
It was good to speak with you, great one.
Oh, we can talk more at the celebration, I said, and then I waved goodbye as we went our separate ways. I perused the businesses along the street that ran from east to west, and I filled my belly with lots of candy from the new sweets store, inspected the tack at the horse supply store, and almost jumped for joy when I realized there was a Tanner's shop in Bastionville now. Ah, the new shop owners were all super friendly and eager to meet me, and it was hard to leave them to move on to the next business. After I visited the stores, I decided to go check on the walls, and I found Jackstam hard at work on the southeastern border. The tall blacksmith was dappled with sweat already, even though the sun had only risen a couple of short hours before, and he lifted boards like they were feathers. "Hey, Jax!" I waved at him in greeting as we approached, and he halted his work to come talk to us.
"Oh, good morning, Bush. Happy Sebastian Day."
"Happy Sebastian Day to you, too," I said with a grin. "Why are you out here working on a day of celebration?"
"Well, don't know about you, but I'd like to get drunk without worrying about bandits coming in on our southern side."
"Hey, I'd be happy to help."
"Many hands make light work."
"I won't tell you no,"
Jax shrugged.
"Like I said last night, the extra men will make the building process safer."
"Well, it didn't seem like Elrin and the others needed much help," I pointed out. "So, I, have some time to kill before the feast starts."
"Oh, you ever get tired of feasting?"
"Not as long as there's food."
"Well, if you want to round up your men,"
Jax said as he wiped the sweat from his brow with the back of his hand.
"Well, we could probably get this section finished today."
"Well, let's do it," I grinned. "I'll be back in a flash." Then I turned to the women who had accompanied me to the walls. You ladies don't have to stay for the dirty work if you don't want to. I'm sure you're all still tired from the journey."
"I want to get started on gathering furniture for the nursery,"
Alyssa said, and she placed a hand on her lower belly.
"I have a feeling we will have some good news soon, and I want us to be ready for whatever comes next, especially if it's babies."
"I think you're baby crazy."
"What if I am?"
Alyssa huffed and jutted out her lower lip. "No, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just playing."
"Come get us at the house before you go to the feast,"
Mahini said, as she took Alyssa's and Eva's hands and led them away from the walls.
"Enjoy your building, great one."
"Oh, I will." I waved goodbye to the women, and then I stomped my foot to activate the fleetness of my griffin feather boots so I could dash across town to the inn, where I assumed I would find the rest of my men. I skidded to a halt outside of Toria's Inn, and I trotted up the steps before I entered the establishment. I had to blink and let my eyes adjust to the dim lighting, but once my vision cleared, I noticed the men all staring at me from the common room. Kylor's red hair stood out like a flame of glory among all the dark-haired men in the room, but I noticed all three of Ryandale's cousins were growing in scruffy beards after spending so much time on the road. Corvus's mop of shaggy hair was the messiest of the group, since the rest of them kept their hair clipped short in a military style. But even he was growing facial hair at a shocking rate. Still, they looked fresh and ready for some hard work.
"Good morning, Great Fawn,"
Jorgen greeted me. Morning, I need your help. Everyone, follow me, we're going to finish the wall."
"Ugh, sounds good to me,"
Kylor grunted as he stood from his chair.
"I was starting to get bored anyway."
"How do you like it here?" I asked, with a concerned frown. I wanted to make sure my men adapted well to their new home.
"Oh, it's a fine place so far,"
Fëanor said in a cheerful tone. "I'll get you guys houses and everything else you need soon. In the meantime, the inn will be your home."
"Better than a tent,"
Corvus snorted.
"Or sleeping on the dirt."
"You have high standards." "They seem to be rising. If we spend much more time with you, we'll all get used to living like kings."
"Well, that's my goal."
All right. If I have to get sweaty, I'd rather get it over with,"
Bryn said, and he shoved himself up from the couch with a groan.
I'll need time to enjoy a hot bath before whatever party is getting set up outside."
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Today is the first annual Sebastian Day. Ha ha! Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Ah, I knew something was going on,
Fëanor gasped.
Sebastian Day, huh?
Oh, will there be food?
Ian asked in a hopeful tone.
Obviously, but you have to earn it first. I can do that,
the guardsman said with a grin, and he patted his stomach affectionately.
Work up an appetite, after all.
Exactly. I jerked my chin toward the door. Let's go. A short while later, we were hard at work on the wall. We took turns standing guard, but, well, nothing came out of the southern woods to harry our progress. And by the time the sun was shining directly overhead, half the empty space was filled with lumber. Jax handed out hammers and nails, and we all set about securing the boards in place. The many helping hands made the work move rapidly, but it was still hard physical labor, and by the time we called it quits, I was covered in sweat. We took a break for a quick lunch provided by my women, but once we'd finished eating, I went to check on the rest of the celebration preparations. Elrin and Toria had finished setting up the tables, complete with white tablecloths etched in a deep green color, and a stage was being built on the other side of an empty space in the road. It looked like there was going to be music and dancing, and I felt my excitement rising. This was going to be fun. Townspeople moved to and fro, and they brought dishes from their houses to fill the tables with food. I helped with the finishing touches for a while, but after a few moments, there wasn't much left to do. So I headed back to my house. Everyone in town was busy with some sort of task, and that included the group of men still hard at work on my roof. They'd expanded the structure to add an additional bedroom, so I decided to help them finish it up. My stomach lurched as I climbed the ladder, but I took a couple of deep breaths and regained my composure before I reached the roof. Then I spent the next few hours of daylight helping the men finish layering shingles. And by the time it was done, the sun had just begun to sink toward the horizon. It was almost party time. I took a quick bath and changed into clean clothes, but my house was empty when I emerged from the bedroom, ready for the celebration. Where had the women gone after lunch? I set out in search of my ladies, but I didn't have to look too far. They were waiting for me directly outside the house. And they were already dressed up in their fancy party clothes. Alyssa wore a green frilly number that swept around her knees and accentuated the color of her eyes. Mahini had donned a blood-red shirt tucked into black breeches, and Evangeline was dressed in a soft pink dress that complemented her pale skin nicely. "What have you girls been up to?" I asked after I'd given them all a hello kiss.
"We took Eva to see Bellona to get fitted for some clothes of her own. She won't have to borrow my dresses for very much longer. I hope they look as good on me as Lissy's dresses look on her,"
Evangeline added with a smirk.
"But I have my doubts."
"Ah, either way, you're both beautiful ladies."
"Good point. Anyway, it's almost time to celebrate."
"Ah, that's the spirit." I hugged her tightly, and then I led the three women down the street toward the town square. Everyone was wearing their finest clothes when we arrived, and the musicians were already playing on the stage, but no one was dancing yet. That would change soon enough, but I was sure everyone was getting anxious to get the feast started.
"Ah, at last, the guest of honor,"
Elrin declared when he noticed us approaching the square.
"We've been waiting for you."
"I'm sure you'd rather wait than sit next to a stinky god."
"Well, that is the truth."
"It's not a party until Bash arrives anyway. The guest of honor should always be the last to show up."
"No, you were always talented at making an entrance,"
her father sighed with a warm and amused smile.
"It doesn't surprise me that the Great One is also skilled in this area."
Suddenly, a small child ran up to me and hugged me around the waist. And when I glanced down, I saw it was Annabelle, the young girl from a small village we'd stayed in on our travels. I instinctively looked around for Krita, the strange old woman who took care of the girl, and I spotted her a few paces away. Krita stared at me in the strange way she had when I'd stayed in her house, but I sensed it was more curiosity than anything else, so I gave her a friendly smile. The old woman blushed and looked away like she'd been caught with her hand in the cookie jar, and I chuckled to myself.
"Oh, it's nice to see you again, Annabelle,"
I told the mop of shaggy hair clinging to my waistline.
I didn't think you'd survive. But you're finally here.
Come now, Anna.
Greta said as she came and took the girl by the shoulders.
Give the Great One some spice.
Oh, she's okay, I said as I gave the little girl a small hug. Annabelle's presence reminded me of Bella, the little girl who had gone missing from Northwood Valley. And I was glad I was able to bring hope to the children of this world. The thought made my heart swell with love and... yeah, my eyes welled with emotion as I hugged Annabelle tightly. Then I made eye contact with Alyssa over the girl's head, and her warm expression spoke volumes. My wife wanted to be a mother more than anything in the world, and I was suddenly very determined to make sure she got her heart's desire. Annabelle let out a tiny sigh and released me from her hug, and she smiled up at me with her face streaked with tears.
Thank you for the hug, Great One. I feel better now.
Good. I grinned. Why don't you go find something yummy to eat?
I can do that.
Annabelle returned my smile, and then she let Krita lead her away. I spotted Bronn a short distance away, next to his wife, Sarah, and I waved at them as I approached. Bronn's short brown hair was clipped shorter than I remembered, and his face looked less weary. His kind eyes reminded me of how much pain the couple had endured ever since their general store went up in flames with their children inside it. But I was happy to see some light glimmering in his gaze. Sarah's long, straight brown hair was pulled into a braid that hung over one shoulder, and she wore a simple gown made of a soft green fabric. She smiled as I drew closer, and it was hard to believe the couple had previously considered self-sacrifice to the god of the purge when they were followers of the crazed zealot Sarosh. Wow, I didn't expect to see you two in Bastionville.
After we left Valenwood, we didn't know where else to go.
Sarah explained in a soft voice.
So much devastation has spread across Soriel. Nowhere else felt safe.
Well, you are safe in Bastionville, I assured the couple. But then I frowned. How is Sarosh?
We parted ways in Valenwood, I'm afraid. She was headed in the opposite direction the last time we saw her. I'm sorry we don't have more information for you.
Nah, it's okay. I shrugged. I'm sure I'll see her again someday. Still, I'm glad you two made your home here. Bastionville is turning into a nice little town.
You've really created a heaven on earth here,
Bronn complimented as he gazed out over the busy town square.
He'll rival Bullard before long.
Except their walls are made of stone. We are still quite a ways away from having a castle. But I'm hopeful.
You deserve a castle, my love.
Alyssa said as she joined us.
One better than my father's.
Eva added, and her gray eyes twinkled at the idea.
Someday.
Mahini said with a nod.
And I'm sure it will be sooner than we think.
Ugh. I love how much faith you girls have. I said as I wrapped my arms around Alyssa and Mahini's shoulders.
You certainly are a lucky man,
Bronn observed with an amused smile.
Although I can't say I would switch places with you. A god must have a lot of energy.
Oh, you don't even know the half of it.
We will let you visit with the rest of your guests,
Sarah said as she inclined her head.
Thank you for allowing us to celebrate with you, Great One.
Happy Sebastian Day.
Happy Sebastian Day to you too, I said, and then we all waved before we moved on to the next group of people. I remembered everyone's name, so I didn't have to reset at all during the first portion of the celebration, and it was nice to spend some time with all the townspeople, both new and old. Eventually, the four of us moved to the table where Elrin and Jaxton were already seated, and we took our places on the bench beside them. The food was spread out before us with plates in front of every seat, and I couldn't wait to dig in. I didn't want to look like a pig, though, so I smiled at my fellow leaders of Bastionville as I got situated.
Quite a spread you've got here. Everyone in town contributed something,
Elrin explained in a proud tone, and he clasped his hands together and rested them at the table's surface.
We are all very excited to have you back with us, Great One.
That means a lot to me, I said, and my heart swelled with pride for the townspeople's teamwork. This was a far cry from what they'd been capable of accomplishing when I'd first arrived, and even better than my wedding feast. Now, there had to be at least 100 people swarming around the various tables, and I marveled at Bastionville's growing population.
"The work you've done for Bastionville means a lot to us,"
Elrin said with a serious expression.
"I thought the town was doomed before you arrived."
"I see no finer place for a home base," I replied with a grin, but then my gaze traveled to the horizon and the distant mountains where the Catacombs of Legend sat. Would I have made this town my home base if it hadn't been the first one I'd encountered? I thought about it for a moment, but then I decided yes. There seemed to be something special about the town, even if I couldn't quite put my finger on it. It was situated perfectly on the edge of Soreal, with the catacombs where I emerged a day's walk away. And since the griffin had only been spotted in this region, I assumed its nest was fairly close, too. Magic was imbued in the soil around here, and something about it just called to me.
"So, Bosh,"
Jax said after a moment, and he pulled me out of my thoughts.
"I was thinking about expanding the forge some. Something you're interested in?"
"Sure," I grinned. "I think that's a great idea."
"Could, sure use the help,"
the tall blacksmith added. "Well, expanding the forge helps out all of Bastionville, so count me in." I nodded. "How has Yanis been doing?"
"Oh, he's doing just fine. Smart kid. Learns fast."
"The food smells amazing,"
Alyssa breathed by my side.
"Can we eat now?"
Mahini asked from beside her.
"We are waiting for the guest of honor to go first,"
Eva explained in a patient tone, and she shot me a pointed look from down the table. I laughed, and I didn't need any more prompting to dig in. I piled my plate high with mashed potatoes and gravy, savory vegetables, and various kinds of meat. There was plenty of pork, venison, chicken, and even more duck. It was a feast fit for a king, and I felt honored by the townspeople's efforts. Everyone quickly followed my example and helped themselves to the deliciousness before them, and we all delved into our plates like deep-sea divers. So the conversation lulled for a while. Suddenly, Stryker approached the table, and the barkeep carried a tray of mugs in his hand. He had enough beer for everyone, and I grinned at him in greeting.
"Ah, perfect timing,"
I said as I accepted the mug he'd handed me.
"Well, I learned from the best damn god around,"
Stryker replied in the friendliest tone I'd ever heard him use. Our conversation before I'd left town must have really hit home for him, and I was glad he wouldn't be an issue at all. I couldn't stand the idea of someone in town not liking me, but, well, fortunately, I didn't have to worry about that. Stryker finished passing out the rest of his mugs of beer to the other members of the table, and then he took a seat next to Jaxton.
"It's good to see you, Bash,"
the barkeep said as he began to help himself to some food.
"We were all hanging on every rumor about your travels."
"It's been quite a journey. What have you heard?"
"Well, if it was anyone else, I wouldn't believe it. But there was a rumor. You broke an ancient curse in Lake Balerno."
"Oh, it's true. Now the girls and I went into an old burial ground and killed a bunch of zombies."
"Alyssa, too?"
Elrin gasped as he rounded on his daughter.
"That sounds dangerous."
"Yes, father."
Alyssa snorted and rolled her eyes.
"But it wasn't that dangerous. Bash kept me safe."
"Also true.
I always thought that town was haunted by something, but who builds next to a burial crypt anyway?"
Stryker took a deep swig from his own mug. "Well, Atticus does," I said with a shrug of my shoulders. "Unless the town is older than that."
"Lake Balerno has been around for some time,"
Elrin informed me with a sage nod of his head.
"Atticus is only one of the many mayors."
"You saw Valenwood too, I heard,"
Stryker interjected in a curious tone.
"It sounds like you've had a lot of adventures."
"It was fun, but I'm glad to be home. After all the excitement, I'm ready for a day or two of doing nothing."
"Cheers to that,"
Alyssa said as she raised her mug in the air. We all clinked our glasses together, but many more toasts were had before the night was over. Everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves, and it warmed my heart to see my people all happy. Stryker was laughing, Jax was chortling, and the girls were all in a fit of giggles. I wasn't even sure what was funny, but the alcohol had loosened all of our senses of humor anyway. After a while of us drinking and laughing, other townspeople began to come up to us and speak to me. I met a couple of miners who'd moved to Bastionville from Carleone, where the copper mine had started to dry up, and they were both very grateful for the work.
Thank you so much for all that you've done for us, great one.
A man named Mitch gushed as he shook my hand vigorously.
It's an honor to meet you.
Another man called Connor said when he finally got his turn to shake my hand.
It's a pleasure to meet both of you, I said with a friendly smile. Welcome to Bastionville.
Happy Sebastian Day. Please enjoy some of the plums. My wife and I gathered them from a tree we spotted on our way here. They are perfectly ripe.
I will, thanks. I nodded.
Oh, we'll leave you to the festivities, then. I think it's time to find my wife for a dance.
Do it, I urged with a grin.
I'll see you on the dance floor, great one.
Mitch said with a wiggle of his eyebrows, and I had to laugh. Oh, you certainly will, I called to their backs as they departed.
Would you like to dance, my love?
Alyssa asked as her emerald eyes shimmered in the torchlight. I'd love to, I replied immediately, and I took her hand as we stood from the table.
I'm next,
Mahini said with a coy smile.
Then me.
Eva winked. Oh, we can dance all night if you want to. We can leave your friends behind.
What friends?
Mahini asked with a worried frown.
Yes, why must we leave them behind?
It's just a song. I laughed and I waved a dismissive hand. God things. Mahini shook her head and Eva gave me a wry smirk, but Alyssa giggled.
I don't even try to understand it. I just enjoy the oddness.
I made a new save point as my wife and I approached the dance floor just in case I messed up while dancing. A god had to be talented in every skill, after all, and the athletic movements were required, and coordination definitely counted as a skill to me. Then Alyssa and I joined the other couples who were making their way toward the dance floor, and I gripped her hand in mine warmly. The band consisted of a variety of instruments I was, well, mostly unfamiliar with, but I spotted a lute, some bagpipes, and a harp among the musicians. They were playing a lively tune with a robust tempo, and Alyssa and I stood on the boundary to clap along for a moment. When the song slowed to an end and the musicians began to transition to a new tune, my wife and I dashed out into the crowd, and I held her gently in my arms as the music restarted.
You're such a talented dancer.
My wife murmured as I swept her off her feet and led her in a series of twirls, all while avoiding the other dancers. Oh, thank you. I grinned. I'd come a long way since the first time I'd danced with her at our wedding celebrations, and I didn't even need to reset to my save point at all during the first song. I narrowly avoided a run-in with another couple, and as I spun away, I noticed it was Bellona, the seamstress, and her husband Gwydion. The short blonde woman was certainly attractive for an older woman, but she and her husband looked so similar they could have been siblings. His curly blonde hair curled around his ears, and his blue eyes twinkled with merriment as he waved at me. Oh, sorry about that, I called out as I twirled my giggling wife in my arms.
No apologies needed. I thought it was our fault. Gwydion keeps making me dizzy.
Ah, we've been meaning to come say hello,
her husband added with a friendly smile.
But you were always occupied with others, and we didn't want to interrupt.
I've been wanting to talk to you, too, I said, and I jerked my chin toward the edge of the dance floor. Do you mind?
Oh, not at all,
Bellona said, and the four of us carefully maneuvered through the dancers to the edge of the crowd.
What is wrong, great one?
Gwydion asked as he clasped his wife's hand tightly.
Oh, no, nothing's wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to worry you. I just wanted to thank you for all the hard work you've done for me and my family. You've kept us all in the finest clothes, and I heard you measured Eva today, too. We have my gratitude.
Oh, great one. Well, I don't know what to say.
Bellona stammered as her cheeks flared red. Is there anything you need? Any materials or supplies? I'd like to repay your kindness in some way.
They are gifts, great one.
Bellona insisted with a shake of her head.
I couldn't accept any sort of payment for them. They are my token of fellowship, a symbol of my faith in you, and what you are doing for this town. Pardon the interruption,
Mahini said, as she suddenly appeared at my elbow. I'd grown accustomed to her stealthy movements and sudden appearances, and I remembered when she used to surprise the hell out of me when she did that.
Absolutely,
Bellona said, and she inclined her head to the desert goddess.
You look beautiful, Mahini. Well, thank you, Bellona,
the former mercenary said, as her cheeks turned a rosy hue.
You made them perfectly. Perfect for you,
the seamstress replied with a nod.
Now I will leave you in peace. Enjoy the party, great one.
Thanks. I grinned. I already am. Then Mahini was in my arms, and she slid her hands around my neck and peered into my eyes with her ice-blue stare.
Is it my turn now?
The warrior woman asked as she licked her lips.
I only had one song.
Alyssa pouted.
You will have more.
Everyone will have plenty of time to dance with me, I insisted in a patient tone. I promise.
Very well.
My wife sighed, and she stood up on her tiptoes to give me a kiss on the cheek.
Enjoy your dancing. I'm going to find more of the roasted duck.
Good. Boop. I chuckled, and I tweaked her nose affectionately. Then Mahini and I rejoined the dancers as the band started a slow tune. The desert goddess twirled her arms around my neck, and her body slithered up against mine in the most seductive way. My cock immediately responded, but we were in the middle of a crowd, so I tucked away that thought for later. I love how much more comfortable you are in breeches, I murmured against her jawline as I traced kisses to her neck. My hands migrated southward ever so slightly, and I got a thrill out of the uptick in Mahini's breathing from the motion. Oh, Mahini was well aware of the sensations we were causing in each other's bodies. And, judging from the mischievous look in her eyes, she was doing it on purpose. Well, two could play at that game. I smirked as my hands went lower to cup her tight ass, and I pulled her closer against me to rub my bulge against her.
Dancing with you.
Mahini bit her lower lip and looked up at me with the most innocent expression.
Excites me.
Being close to you at all excites me. I grinned. The song ended, and the musicians transitioned into one with a faster pace, so we mimicked the other dancing townspeople and began a lively stepping pattern. It reminded me of a combo of cowboy line dancing and courtly gestures, like the scene from one of my favorite movies, A Knight's Tale, where Heath Ledger rocked the dance floor. As the quick-tempoed song ended, Evangeline cut in to steal me for her own turn, and I bowed to Mahini before I twirled the Duke's daughter into my arms. Her skirt flurried and fluttered from the motion, and the blonde woman laughed with abandon. You look beautiful tonight, I complimented, while we spiraled through the other couples arm in arm.
Thank you, great one.
Eva breathed as her gray eyes lit up with joy.
This is delightful. Such a beautiful town.
The tempo changed to a slow song, and I pulled the Duke's daughter into my arms and gazed down into the bottomless depths of her smoky gray eyes. We swayed side to side as the harpist plucked out gentle notes, and the music echoed across the dance floor as everyone hushed their chatter to listen. Do you think your father will mind that you came with me? I questioned softly in Evangeline's ear.
Does it matter?
She countered with one lifted eyebrow.
He can't undo what's already been done. I swore an oath to you, great one. I will follow you to my death.
No. Let that be in the far future, I said, and I squeezed her warmly against me. I'm glad you're with me, Evangeline.
There's nowhere else I'd rather be,
she replied, and she nestled her head against my chest with a contented sigh. We danced for one more song, and then Alyssa whisked me away again. Bastionville's residents partied until the wee hours of the morning, and everyone was in a drunken stupor by then. The musicians were weary, but they heartily played on, as though they were fueled by the energy of their patrons. I didn't recognize any of the players personally, and I wondered if they were new residents or just passing through. Bastionville sure had changed but entirely for the better, and I couldn't wait to see what I managed to accomplish next.
I love the music,
Eva said at one point, and her eyes twinkled like the stars in the early morning sky overhead.
I love Bash!
Alyssa sang out in a slurred voice, and she swayed on her feet with a mug of alcohol clasped in her fist. The drink sloshed and spilled over the edge as she leaned to and fro, and Mahini quickly stepped in and loaned a supporting arm.
I think it is time for some of us to get sleep,
the desert goddess observed with a wry smirk. But then she let out a yawn, and a blush crept up her throat.
Some of us, including me, apparently. My father!
Alyssa blurted out with a gasp.
I have to say goodnight!
We escorted my fated wife to where Elrin was sitting with Kalia and Theodora, and we helped her hug him goodnight. By that time, several other townspeople heard we were leaving the party, and we were surrounded by people wanting to bid us farewell. Thank you, people of Bastionville, I announced in a loud voice so I could address all of them at once. Happy Sebastian Day! Let it be the first of many!
Happy Sebastian Day!
The crowd chanted back at me, and then everyone cheered in unison. It was a glorious end to a wonderful day, and I wouldn't change a single thing about it. The sun was beginning to rise when me and my women finally made our way back home, and we all collapsed into bed in an exhausted heap. We slept most of the day away, and it was early afternoon when we rose again. We spent the next few days focusing on the finishing touches on my house and the town walls. The only thing we were missing in order to defend the town were gates at both entrances. We had archery towers built with a view of every direction, but there were still the open gaps where a gate would be eventually. Several days passed without incident, though, and I spent my time working hard to improve the conditions around Bastionville. A few days after the party, I headed to Jax's forge for the first time since I'd returned, and I was excited to get some smithing work done. So my pace was quick as I crossed Bastionville. Everyone in town was hard at work, so no one stopped me on the way to the forge, and a short while later, I was knocking on the entrance to Jaxton's shop.
Good morning, Bash,
Jax said in a gruff voice, and he gripped my forearm in his. Morning, I grinned. You ready to make some awesome weapons?
Well, easier said than done. Let's see what you can do.
I have an idea in mind already.
I've been meaning to ask,
the blacksmith said in a cautious tone. Yeah, I replied with one lifted eyebrow.
How big was this dragon anyway?
The size of a bus, I said, before I remembered he wouldn't know what that was.
Well, how big is that?
The blacksmith replied without missing a beat. Before I could answer, bells began to ring from somewhere deeper in Bastionville, and we both paused with our mouths open. The alarm bells, I said as my gaze flicked to the entrance.
One step ahead of you,
Jax growled, and he turned to grab a warhammer from a shelf nearby. I'd been in the habit of wearing my feather sword and the two daggers Jax had made for me on my belt at all times, but I wasn't wearing any armor. I considered using the fleetness ability of my boots to rush home real quick, but the sooner I reached the entrance to town, the better. Jax and I trotted out the door, and we scanned the bustling streets for signs of danger. People rushed in all directions, and a stream of residents were moving toward Elrin's house, which was often used as a bunker when the town was threatened. Men with weapons moved steadily through the crowd toward the entrance, and it pleased me to see so many able-bodied people eager to protect our town. Let's get to the edges of town, I commanded the blacksmith. I'll take the east entrance.
Aye,
Jax replied with a quick nod.
And I'll go to the west wall.
I returned his nod, and then I took off running through the mass of bodies swarming the streets. The crowd began to thin a moment later, though, so I made quick progress across town. I'd just arrived at the hole in the wall where the road led toward the east, when several men on horses became visible on the horizon. They rode toward Bastionville at a leisurely pace, and something felt off about their attack. There were no weapons drawn, no battle cries shouted. Then the man in the lead took off his helmet, held it beneath one arm, and waved his other arm over his head. It was Ryandale, and the twins were behind him.
I breathed a sigh of relief, and I waved up to the nearest watchtower that the coast was clear.
Oh, they're friends of mine!
I shouted, and then I began to cross the distance between me and my lieutenant.
Right, guy, my man! How are you?
Hello, great one!
Ryandale greeted with a wide grin as he pulled his horse to a halt.
Long time no see.
You're starting to sound like me now.
I laughed, and I reached up to grip his hand as I approached his horse.
The Duke of Bullard sends his greetings,
the young lieutenant informed me in a pleased tone.
He gave me a letter to give to you.
Oh, that's excellent news. Come into town. Let's find you guys something to eat.
We are glad to be here. I'm ready for our journey to end.
Isaac and Asher nodded their agreement with weary expressions on their twin faces, and I had to chuckle at their comically dramatic exhaustion.
Well, that time has finally come, my friends. You're home now.
Before I could finish my sentence, the alarm bells rang again, and we all turned to look toward the sound.
It's just my men!
I called out in a loud voice in an effort to reassure the townsfolk.
Great one!
A voice echoed across the distance between me and the walls.
You're needed on the west side! Bandits are attacking!
More bandits? What the... Just who were these guys?
Ah, shit.
I groaned, but then I raised my voice.
I'll be there in a flash!
I'm right behind you, sir!
Ryandale said with a quick nod. Good. I grinned. Ride straight through town to the other side. I'll meet you there. Let's go kill some bandits. Then I stomped my foot to activate the fleetness ability of my griffin feather boots, and I zoomed through the town toward the west entrance. These wannabe bandits had their chance to raid the town while I was gone, and they'd failed. If they thought their odds were better against me, then they had a hard lesson to learn, and I wanted to be the one to personally teach it to them. The bandit scourge on Bastionville was about to end once and for all. The god of time had returned home, and any who stood in my path would fall beneath my blades.